The theme of our devotional Bethel service this morning, in keeping with the season of Thanksgiving, is gratitude. The dictionary defines gratitude as a feeling of warm and deep appreciation for kindness and benefits received. The feeling of gratitude should then prompt acts of praise and prayer in the grateful Christian. I think the words of the hymn we sang in opening well capture the thoughts of this definition of gratitude. Verse 1 describes a survey or review of God's mercies, his kindnesses and benefits toward us. In verse 2 is a declaration of the appreciative feeling of gratitude in the heart that words cannot adequately express. And in the final verse 3, the act prompted by this feeling of gratitude is an eternal song of praise to God. Such is now and will forever be the heartfelt sentiment of all the Father's children on the heavenly plane as well as on the earthly. As an outline for our devotional Bethel service this morning, I chose three categories of God's mercies or benefits for us to survey. And there are, of course, hundreds of categories of God's mercies and benefits to us that we could choose from, and I hope that you will add to this list your own personal causes for gratitude and survey them or contemplate them daily. The three I chose are the truth, the brethren, and God's providence. Let's begin by considering the benefit, God's mercy to us, of having the truth as a cause for gratitude. On reprint page 2551 is an article with the theme text of Psalm 103, verse 2. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. I've asked Sister Sue Surrey to read a portion of that article from reprint page 2551.
One of the least expensive offerings we can present to the Lord our God, and yet one which we appreciate very highly, is thanksgiving for mercies past and present. The ungrateful are disdained among men, and we may well suppose are far from pleasing in the sight of the Almighty. While every creature throughout the world might find some cause for thankfulness and gratitude and praise, how much more should we who have received so abundantly of the riches of divine grace in the knowledge of his truth and plan of the ages. We said that thanksgiving were cheap offerings, but whoever presents to the Lord real thanksgiving with lips of praise will follow his lip service with something more substantial, and this is intimated in our golden text by the words, O my soul. The appeal is not merely to the lips, but to the entire being, and so we find it with ourselves and others today, whoever is truly thankful to the Lord and offers him praise, remembering his benefits, will seek to render substantial thanks also in deeds that will be acceptable and pleasing to the Lord.
The word benefits in our key text, Psalms 103, verse 2, reminds us of another verse in Psalms that calls to mind our benefits, Psalm 116, verses 12 to 14, which is a part of my morning resolve. Brother David Martin will read that for us.
My morning resolve. My earliest thought I desire shall be, what shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits towards me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord for grace to help. I will pay my vows unto the Most High. Remembering the divine call, gather my saints together unto me, those who have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. I resolve that by the Lord's assisting grace, I will today, as a saint of God, fulfill my vows, continuing the work of sacrificing the flesh and its interests, that I may attain to the heavenly inheritance and joint heirship with my Redeemer. I will strive to be simple and sincere towards all. I will seek not to please and honor self, but the Lord. I will be careful to honor the Lord with my lips, that my words may be unctuous and blessed to all. I will seek to be faithful to the Lord, the truth, the brethren, and all with whom I have to do, not only in great matters, but also in the little things of life. Trusting myself to divine care and providential overruling of all my interests for my highest welfare, I will seek not only to be pure in heart, but to repel all anxiety, all discontent, all discouragement. I will neither murmur nor repine at what the Lord's providence may permit, because faith can firmly trust him, come what may.
A beautiful poem along the lines of gratitude in action is entitled Thanksgiving, and we've asked Sister Wanda Jay to read that poem for us.
Now Jesus wants 10 lepers healed, but only one returned and offered thanks and praise and kneeled. He gratitude had learned. We too are lepers touched by sin, but he hath justified and cleansed us from what we had been and hath us sacrificed. May we his praises ever tell to all, his plan made known. For gratitude doth us impel our debt to him to own.
Our second category of mercies and benefits for which we are grateful is our brethren. How much richer are our lives because we have the brethren? How much richer are our lives because of the loving relationships we have developed over the years with the saints of God? Jesus felt this richness during his earthly ministry in the love of the Apostle John, and especially in Mary, who anointed his head and feet shortly before his crucifixion. There are so many aspects of having the brethren in our lives that we could consider. Brethren are our examples, our mentors, our opportunities for service, our teachers, our guides, our trials and our polishing experiences. There are so many scriptures that speak of how we should regard and interact with our brethren that I could choose from so many, but we have time for only one. So I chose 1 Peter 1:22. Seeing that ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. The reprint article I've selected to go with this text is entitled The Love to be Desired. It's found on page 4766, and I've asked Brother Greg Mathewson to read a portion of that reprint article, The Love to be Desired.
We purify our souls. That is, our souls are purified, have been purified if we are saints, by obedience to the truth through the Spirit. That is to imply that it is necessary for us to know the truth. In our text, the apostle proceeds to say that having had this glorious transformation of character through the knowledge of and obedience to the Spirit of truth, we have learned to love the brethren with an unfeigned love, a love that is genuine, without pretense, not merely an outward profession to have a smile upon the face of or to have to give a cordial grasp of the hand, but that through this Spirit we have recognized that all who trust in the precious blood and are consecrated to the dear Redeemer and are seeking to follow his leadings are brethren, regardless of race or color or education or poverty or homeliness. We have reached the point where our hearts are so full of the Spirit of the Master that we can truthfully say we love all the brethren with a love which is sincere and not at all feigned.
As I advance in years, I enjoy more and more looking back on the past and the brethren I've loved, worked with, laughed with, and even cried with. I copied some of the pictures from our personal photo albums, and I'd like to show them to you now as we sing together the hymn that epitomizes the love of brethren for one another, number 23. Hymn number 23. Let's all sing. I think there are two lessons in that key text for this category of causes for gratitude, 1 Peter 1:22. Having purified souls or hearts means not only a pure, unfeigned love for the brethren, but also an adherence to the pure standards of righteousness set forth in the Word of God. And some of those pure standards of righteousness are exemplified in a vow unto the Lord. And Brother John Gadelis will read that for us now.
A vow unto the Lord. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. May thy rule come into my heart more and more, and thy will be done in my mortal body. Relying on the assistance of thy promised grace to help in every time of need, through Jesus Christ our Lord, I register this vow. Daily will I remember at the throne of heavenly grace the general interests of the harvest work, and particularly the share which I myself am privileged to enjoy in that work, and the dear co-laborers everywhere. I vow to still more carefully, if possible, scrutinize my thoughts and words and doings to the intent that I may be the better enabled to serve thee and thy dear flock. I vow to thee that I will be on the alert to resist everything akin to spiritism and occultism, and, remembering that there are but the two masters, I shall resist these snares in all reasonable ways as being of the adversary. I further vow that with the exceptions below, I will at all times and at all places conduct myself toward those of the opposite sex in private exactly as I would do with them in public, in the presence of the congregation of the Lord's people. And, so far as reasonably possible, I will avoid being in the same room with any of the opposite sex alone, unless the door to the room stand wide open. Exceptions in the case of brethren, wife, children, mother, and natural sisters. In the case of sisters, husband, children, father, and natural brothers.
That brings us to our third cause for gratitude, God's providence in our lives. And God's providence is a more personal, unique cause for gratitude in each of us. We all share the same truth. Many of us share the same brethren. But no two of us are exactly alike, just as no two stones in the temple were carved exactly the same. And what makes us unique as new creatures are the experiences, the shaping, the polishing, and providences in our lives. In Brother Russell's day, the question was often discussed as to how extensive God's providences in our lives really is. Was every little thing that happened to us a providence? Or are only the phenomenal events of our lives, those that border on the miraculous, providences of God? Listen to how Pastor Russell framed this debate and then answered the question in an article entitled Special Divine Providence on reprint page 1560. Sister Dorothea Kalinsky will read a portion of that for us.
On the subject of divine providence, there are many widely diverging views. Even among Christians, some are quite skeptical with reference to it, while others view it in a light so extreme as to destroy in their minds the idea of human free agency and accountability. But to rightly understand the subject, we must carefully observe the scripturally marked meets and bounds with the limits of which divine providence can be and is exercised. First, we observe that since God is good, all his providences must be with a view to wise and benevolent ends, either near or remote. Secondly, that since he made man in his own image, morally free, and with the alternatives of good and evil before him, it would be contrary to his purpose, thus manifested, to so hedge him about with his providences as to interfere with his moral free agency, which is the crowning glory of humanity and the right exercise of which gives to virtue all its worth. Thirdly, we see that since God is working with all things after the counsel of his own will according to a plan of the ages, which he purposed in himself before the foundation of the world, and since he changes not, but all his purposes shall be accomplished, it is manifest that he cannot exercise his providence in any way which would be detrimental to the ultimate ends of his perfect plan.
One more, Sister Dorothea. Is there another paragraph there? Oh, I'm sorry. Would you read it from the screen then, please? I'm sorry.
If these three principles, namely the divine goodness, the inviolability of human free agency, and the necessary consistency of the divine providences with the divine purposes, be always borne in mind. They will save, both from skepticism on the one hand and from fanaticism on the other, as well as greatly assist the believer to a clearer understanding and fuller appreciation of God's dealings, both in general and in particular.
Thank you. Along the line of God's providence is the thing that he provides for us to sustain us, to nurture us, and to enable us to grow, is our manna text and comment for today, which appears on your convention program for November 28th. And in that manna text and article, it speaks of God's provision of peace, a very valuable provision to us in these days, peace in the midst of trouble. We've asked Brother Bob Whitaker to read the manna text and comment for today, November 28th.
When he giveth quietness, who then can make trouble? Job 34, verse 29. Who but he, the God of all comfort, can give quietness in the midst of tumults which rise upon the soul like sudden storms upon the sea? Like ocean mariners in peril, we cry unto him, and he bringeth us to the desired haven, blessed haven of quietness and peace in God. What is the cry which brings this answer of peace? It is not a prayer that all occasion for disturbance shall be removed, for it is not always the divine will to bring peace to the human spirit in that way. It never fails to bring the quietness in which none can make trouble. It is the prayer for sweet, trustful, loving acquiescence in the will of God.
So in the Lord's providence, we are to wait patiently for him, and to take patiently such experiences as his providences may mark out for us, questioning not the wisdom, the love, and the power of him with whom we have to do. Brethren, may we indeed be trusting and receive God's providence with gratitude, recognizing that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Our prayer should be for sweet, trustful, loving acquiescence in the will of God. Speaking of sweet prayer, there are again a number of inspiring hymns on that subject which we could sing in closing, and I've chosen number 274, Sweet Hour of Prayer. Let's sing that together now, number 274. We'll remain seated for all the verses once again. After we sing the last verse, we'll rise to be led in closing prayer by Brother Dan Trina. Number 274.